Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. I think this is such a great saying, the outside in us all, because it applies so much. This is a Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, and you go to their website, and it's prominent. And I don't know if we could love our outdoors more as Montanans, so to speak. Sometimes we can love it to death. We have seen that with our forests in a way as well. And it's so great to check in and have the opportunity to speak with our FWP director, Christy Clark, who joins us now this morning with a lot on the plate. Good morning, Christy. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing great. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to you.
Oh, thanks for coming on. I appreciate that. I mean, in your seat, and again, with all that love for the outdoors, this is an attention getter. I mean, so let's pick up on this thing here too, because I'm very curious about how, and this is done on a biennial basis, scoping out the hunting seasons and how people can get involved. It kicks off this month. Well, as a matter of fact, have you had a first meeting yet? I don't think so. I think
They're
coming. You've got like seven regions to have these meetings in too. So you got to get out and about, don't you?
We do. Well, we've done the mule deer workshop ones because we're going through reworking our mule deer management plan. It's been a couple decades, you know, since we've looked at that. So we've done the scoping for the mule deer, and we're just about to kick off the public scoping for the biennial season setting for 26 and 27. So those will be coming up, and those will be posted on our website. And then the public will have opportunities to comment after we get through the public scoping. We put our recommendations up. And then, again, more public comment. We always want to know what people are thinking because there's a lot that goes into this, Tom. You know, it's, you know, everything from dates to license definition, hunting districts, boundaries, bag limits. So much that goes into this. And that this is all under the purview of the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Commission. So they take all that information and they make some hard decisions.
Let's talk about mule deer management now. And again, people can still have this opportunity through the online portal through June 27th to give some feedback here as well. And look at your public officials are asking you to do that. So please do that. Let's talk about some of the difficulties in certain areas with mule deer management and maybe what's leading into that.
Sure. I mean, I think what we're dealing with really is a significant drop in population numbers on the eastern side of the state. And that's our problem is to weigh what's happening, to weigh the public expectations, look at it with, you know, through a scientific lens and figure out, you know, it's our challenge to identify actions that will increase those mule deer populations. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get out there, talk to folks, see what they're hearing, what they're seeing, what they're wanting, and then to figure out how we can manage that resource that will increase those numbers. I mean, we can't make more mule deer, but we can certainly help through regulations move that needle, we hope, and increase those population numbers back to where the public expects them to be.
Will it take a number of years, or where do you think traditionally or historically we have seen population drops and then effective management brings that back up to, you know, more acceptable levels? Maybe talk about if there's a timeline set here or what's the response? What has your staff learned over these mule deer scoping meetings?
So they've learned that the people are really passionate about mule deer. For sure, you know, we love our mule deer in this state. And taking all of that input and really just trying to figure out where the population decline is coming from. I mean, there's things that impact it, you know, chronic wasting disease in some areas. Really just trying to get all that put into one place. Our staff will go through, they'll make some recommendations. We'll write a new plan, we'll post it after, you know, lots of public input, post it, take more public input, and hopefully come out with a plan You know, in a fairly short timeline, because time is of the essence in these situations. And it's been, like I said, a couple of decades since we've done a mule deer management plan. So I'm hoping that we can get this out fairly quickly, but in a really thoughtful way that takes all that public engagement and puts it into a working, living document that can help us manage that resource and get those populations back.
I know, and I appreciate that, and we'll all be keeping an eye on that, too. FWP Director Kristy Clark is with us, overseeing a budget of about $110 million, approximately 750 employees. They manage our wildlife, our state parks, our fishing access, and conducting wildlife research and enforcing, you know, wildlife-related laws as well. Kristy Clark joins us here today with all those things on the plate. We're going to pick up on grizzly bears a little bit. Maybe we'll hit this legislative session. I'm going to get this information out. I got a question from a caller here I want to throw to you as well, Director Clark. And again, thanks for your time. Let me get this kind of early information out here about this biennial hunting season setting process that begins in earnest in June. I think the first date I see here is June 9th for Region 2 in Phillipsburg. But then you're all over the place. And of note, June 10th, Region 2, your staff will be in Drummond. June 10th, you'll also be in Lewistown. You'll be in Dillon. You'll be in Billings, for that matter, as well. I encourage people to go to the FWP website and check those scoping dates out. And there really are several meetings in each of Montana's regions there as well. So lots of opportunity for you. Kristy, why do you guys do this?
So, Tom, we can't we can't manage these resources in a vacuum. We need to hear from the public and what they're the boots on the ground. I mean, yeah, we have a large staff and, you know, we're out there, we're working with the wildlife, we're working with, you know, the people. But also, it is the hunters, it is the fishermen, and it is the, you know, the people that enjoy our resources that we need to hear from. And so we try to make these meetings frequent and in lots of locations and so that the public has an opportunity to tell us how they want us to manage their resources. Because we're just all stewards of these resources that make Montana such a great place to live.
And the whole process, I mean, it goes on and on. You say you consider both big and small changes. What would give us an example of that? What's maybe a big change, or what's maybe a small change that people can learn about? Go ahead.
Sure, we look at everything from what are the season dates that we want. What are the best dates? What are the license definitions? What do we want hunting district boundaries to look like? Bag limits, we talk about those. To manage specific types of species. I mean, are there bag limits that need to be adjusted? You know, we had a pretty significant loss in the wild sheep this year due to disease. And, you know, we need to think about how do we want to manage that resource in light of that, you know, that large die-off we had this winter. And so we're always looking to hear from the public, you know, are we managing these conservatively enough? Or are we feeling like, you know, there's too many elk in certain areas? We need to be more liberal on those bag settings, you know, on those bag setting scopes. So those are the kind of things where we really need to hear from folks. We need to take that information back, and then we need to present it to the commission, and then the commission makes the decisions on what all that looks like.
Again, I encourage folks, I mean, there are meetings, and they're plentiful in our seven regions across the state of Montana. Get involved in that season setting process. Your information is valuable to our FWP staff. Kristy Clark, Director FWP, with us. We'll get on to grizzly bears here in a bit. Skip and Hamilton, stand by for that question. Also had a call in, sort of a text call, about chronic wasting disease. I know that Montana has taken a very aggressive approach to try to eradicate that, but also not let it spread. So Bill and Helena wants just to speak a bit about what's the update on chronic wasting disease.
So the chronic wasting disease is, you know, it is prevalent in some areas of the state more than others. And we do encourage hunters when they've harvested their game to stop by that check station and have them tested for CWD and see if it is present. particularly in Region 6. I think that's one of the areas where we're watching the closest, and not really sure what all of the impacts of CWD are. One of those that we'll just be doing more research and watching that, encouraging, our neighboring states to be doing the same, particularly to the east of us, as we really are still in, trying to understand and gather information and understand what the impacts of CWD are. There's just an awfully lot of unknowns about that right now.
Yeah, and one of the roadblocks is that I don't think there's an inoculation for it. Not that that's a practical approach as well, but this is something that you're going to have to battle sort of with Mother Nature on your side, right?
It happens, it does. And we don't get to pick, what Mother Nature hands us. We just have to try to, respond to that in a way that makes sense. And that's what we're just still in that process of, gathering that information and figuring out what that looks like moving forward. Unfortunately, still lots of unknowns in that area.
Well, all us hunters out there are partnering in this as well. Let's take this call. Skip listening in Hamilton, KLYQ, Citizen Skip. Good to have you checking in. You got a question, and I'm glad. Give us your thoughts on it real quick, and it's on our plate to talk about grizzly bears.
Thank you, Tom, and I do hope you both have a wonderful weekend, and Cody, too, because we're starting our summer season, and everybody please be careful in the woods. We don't need to be doing any forest fire problems too early in the season.
Amen.
And I'm going to just ask, because I've been on another program about this, wondering about the difference in management practices between the federal government and our state of Montana versus other states who have different management practices for bears. In particular, I'll give you an example. Christy in Idaho baiting black bears. How does that affect that grizzly bears in Idaho, as an example? And because the federal regulations are the same across the board, and the bears don't know where the state lines are, and they migrate and they cover huge distances. Is there anything that you can tell us about how you'd like to manage and how you'd like to see the grizzly bears managed in the future? Do you feel like we're doing okay with the way the federal management is taking place? What do you want to do as the leader in the future? I actually know one of our commissioners, Jeff Burrows, is right here in River Valley County, and he's very interested in making sure there's plenty of public input and good scientific reason for how we proceed, as an example, and I'm sure you do too. So thanks for letting me tell you those things, and have a nice weekend, and please let us know what the future holds in your mind. Thanks.
Thank you, Skip. Appreciate that. Good question, too. I mean, what's the difference between state and federal regulations and management of grizzly bears?
Well, thanks for that question, Skip. So, I mean, obviously, I was really hopeful that the delisting petitions would be approved. And as we know, that didn't happen. So the grizzly bears are still listed as an endangered species. I mean, the other thing that happened in that federal decision that came out was that they went from, a couple smaller DSAs to one large one, which I felt like moved us back even further from delisting. I felt like the light for delisting sort of dimmed.
That's a political agenda, too, I think. I don't know that science backs that up. That seemed to be more politics than anything.
Agreed, 100%, Tom. What I will tell you is that with the change in administration, I am encouraged, and I'm sure you have experts much better to speak to this than I am, but I'm telling you that I'm encouraged with the federal change of administration. I know that our congressional delegation is committed to helping us get to a state management plan with grizzly bears. We have a solid state management plan that involves, it doesn't involve hunting for 5 years, which is I'm fine with, but it does allow us to manage the bears in a responsible way, because honestly, there's just too many grizzly bears. And we're seeing a very high density population. And with the drought situation, the way that it is in some areas, those bears are going to have to go somewhere. And I'm concerned that, you know, they're going to be moving more into urban areas. Mm-hmm. And further from, you know, the rural landscape. And so I'm just going to be honest, Tom. I'm real nervous about this summer with the amount of bears that we have and the dry conditions and the amount of conflicts that we've already had. I'm pretty uncomfortable with where we're at. And I wish we were in a place. I'm hopeful that the federal government will move rapidly. And we've been in contact with our federal partners and talked with them about the conflicts that we're having and seeing. And I'm hoping that we get a rapid response from them. But I'll just be honest, like I'm pretty nervous about it.
I am too. And I know it's a behavioral thing because you see more and more of these urban interface interactions. And that tells you that the grizzly bear's behavior has it's changed to a certain degree. They come running when they hear a gunshot instead of going the other way. And so it becomes a public safety issue. Is there an avenue? And I know I'm just kind of spitballing here, but why do we have to wait until there's a tragedy? Can't we sue right now? Or I know there's probably a process, but maybe it ends up in court. It probably does. Can't we do something on this public safety aspect of overpopulation of grizzly bears?
Well, I mean, certainly people can shoot in self-defense. I mean, let's just be clear, you know, and always carry bear spray, but always be prepared. One of the things that we are trying to do here, we are in the process of doing it at FWP, and we'll roll this out. We haven't talked about this publicly, so this is the first time I've talked about it. But we are doing a grizzly bear conflict dashboard, and we'll have that up and rolling here soon so that if say, you want to go bird hunting in a particular area, you can look at that dashboard, and you can see where there's high densities of grizzly bear conflicts. And so that's maybe an area that you don't want to take your small children out for their first, you know, opportunity to hunt ducks or pheasants. It might be some, you know, you might go to an area that doesn't have that high conflict density. So that's one of the things, one of the tools we're going to try to add to our state website. But in the meantime, I'm waiting patiently for Brian Nesbitt to be confirmed as director of U.S. Fish Wildlife Services. And then I think I'm expecting we will probably see movement. We're still waiting for that confirmation. And so he hasn't been able to be very active while he's awaiting that confirmation. So I think we're expecting that'll probably happen in the month of June. And then I would expect we will see some movement from the feds.
Understood. Let's get a quick word about the legislative session. You can take a deep breath. You know, it ended over a month ago, so to speak. Real active. You know, how'd you guys come out?
You know, Tom, we had a fabulous legislative session. We had high engagement from the legislators. They were great to reach out to us with questions. And, you know, me coming in as a brand new director to a new agency, you know, right as the legislative session kicked off was not ideal. But what I'll tell you is we really got to see our staff shine. Yeah. I could not go speak to the legislature about, you know, bonus points in our licensing system. I just did not have that depth of knowledge. And so we got to see our folks really step up to the plate. They interacted with those legislators. They were in front of them in committees, provided transparency, great information. And really felt like we came out of the session very well, our budget mostly intact, and really just grateful for the process, the hard work of the legislators. We all left exhausted, but feeling like we did a really good job, and I was just really pleased. And like I said, just so happy with the way the staff showed up. For us, it was great.
Yeah. And I appreciate those comments, and I hope your staff does as well. Effective December 9th, 2024, is when you took over the job as well as director of FWP. Of course, a former member of the Montana House of Representatives and served as our agriculture director as well. But now the outdoor is in you as well, Christy Clark. Yes.
Indeed.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on. We look forward to checking in with you, and I'll get more information out about these season-setting meetings as well. They, as I mentioned, they continue on through the month of June. Have a great weekend, Christy. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Always a pleasure.
FWP Director Christy Clark. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.